I don't know about you, but I'm feeling the presence of Jesus. Are you feeling the presence of Jesus? Do you believe Jesus' presence is here? Do you believe Jesus' presence is here? Because when Jesus' presence is here, your life cannot remain the same. You are welcome. Jesus loves South Africa. Wherever Jesus' presence is, there is freedom. I believe you'll receive your freedom today. I want to talk about the presence of Jesus. Where there is the presence of Jesus, there's an awareness of our position before God. You know, it was the presence of Jesus that made Zacchaeus repent. Just Jesus' presence saying, I'm coming to your house. It was just the presence of Jesus that turned the life of Zacchaeus around. And what happened to him? Nobody asked him to, but that conviction in his heart from the presence of Jesus made him put his life right. And he decided that he would repay all that he had stolen. You see, when the presence of Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit begins to convict our conscience. And nobody can say no to sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. That day, Jesus told Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to your house." In that book of Luke 19, let's go there. I know you all know the story. Luke 19, do you have your Bible? Let me see your Bible. You know, this is the University of God, yes? Since knowledge ceases when revelation comes. Luke 19, we all know the story. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of a short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." I love that about Jesus. Everyone was looking at Jesus, but Jesus was looking where God wanted him to look. And he saw the person that nobody else saw. He saw the person that was rejected, put on one side, maybe because of what he'd done. But he was not cast aside by Jesus. Jesus looked at him and saw him, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. That day, the journey started for Zacchaeus, the journey of righteousness. And that is what we want to talk about today, the journey of righteousness. Every journey of righteousness starts with what? It starts with unrighteousness. It starts with an awareness of unrighteousness. That presence of Jesus brought that conviction in his heart that, oh, I've not been doing the right thing. I've been cheating people. Nobody told him. It was his heart that told him. Do you know that your conscience is the greatest voice that can change your life? Do you know that? Because your conscience is the point of contact for the Holy Spirit. Do you listen to your conscience? That's the question. I know all of you are here looking for a solution for something. Oh, wow, thank you. Look, the journey of righteousness. Say the journey of righteousness. Now, I want to tell you something today. We all want to be where Jesus is, yes? We all want to follow Jesus. We want to receive from Jesus. We want to feel his touch. We want to feel his presence. But how many of us are ready to say no to unrighteousness? Because the journey of righteousness begins with no. Say, your neighbor, no. I can't hear you. You can still do louder. Thank you. The journey of righteousness starts with no. We have to say no to sin. Because unless you say no to sin, you cannot follow Jesus. I don't care what anyone else tells you. I don't care what you think you might like to hear. That is the truth, and that is why Jesus came. He came to preach repentance so that we could receive the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure many of you are saying, well, of course, I've repented from my sin. I'm a Christian. Do you want to get near God today? Do you want to get closer to Jesus? Do you? The only way we can get closer to Jesus is through repentance. From our heart. That's the only way. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus' heart and he said, today, salvation has come to your house. He meant salvation has come to your heart because our heart is the house where God lives. He looked at the change of heart and he said, yes, salvation has come. The journey has started. Now, many of us, we started that journey a long time ago, but maybe we're stagnant on the journey. We are not moving. Jesus is walking. Where's Jesus going? Do you want to follow Jesus? Because where Jesus is, power is, yes? Where Jesus is, solution is. Where Jesus is, peace is, joy is, blessing is. But if you want to follow Jesus, sin cannot travel that path. There was one disciple meeting with Prophet T.B. Joshua. I'll never forget this. We were asking him questions. And I asked him the question, I said, sir, how do we get rid of pride? You know, pride is a sin in all of us by nature. Maybe you don't want to admit it, but it is. Pride is a sin in all of us by nature. I said, how do we get rid of pride? He looked at me, he said, Ruth, why are you here? What's your vision? I said, I want to be like Jesus. He said, okay, that's your answer. To be like Jesus, pride cannot travel that path. Hatred cannot travel that path. You know, he used to sing this song. He used to say, excuse my voice. He used to say, I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. You know that song? I'm married to truth. You say, lies, leave me alone. You know that song? I'm married to faithfulness. Unfaithfulness, leave me alone, yes? Meaning that when you are married to Jesus, when you accept Jesus in your heart, the power of sin in your life must be broken. Many of us, we're praying for God to bless us today. We have pain, we have sickness, we have problems, we have difficulties, we have afflictions. But you know, the greatest freedom that Jesus came to give us is to set us free from the power of sin. That is the gospel. And many people don't like talking about it, but it's the truth. And I can tell you right now that from all my years training and learning under Prophet T.B. Joshua, I can tell you right now that many people came. I saw so many people come wanting to receive healing, deliverance, impartation, power. But they went away amazed at the sanctity, holiness, a life away from sin. We always prayed after every prayer, give me the grace to stay far from sin and close to Jesus. Because you might say, well, sin is not a problem for me. Are you walking on the journey of righteousness? Jesus says that he came to bring a sword. What does that mean? Many people can misunderstand this scripture. He said he came to bring a sword. This means that we have to be violent in our heart to follow him. You can't follow two directions in the same time. If you're following Jesus, you have to leave sin behind. And the day you get angry, the sin in your life is the day you start winning. The day you get angry at talking too much, complaining, being angry, being jealous, being envious, the day you begin to get angry at those sins in your life is the day that that awareness of the Holy Spirit comes and your life will never remain the same. Because he's the helper. He's the one that God has sent to help you, to walk with you, to be with you on this journey. But do we quench him? The Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. I want to take us to the roadmap of Jesus. Let's go to the book of Matthew. If we say we want to follow Jesus, this is the best place to start. Matthew 5. You see, the presence of Jesus is here. As you are here, just be meditating in your heart. Holy Spirit, take more of me, give me more of you. Holy Spirit, take more of me, give me more of you. Because this word is spirit and life. This Bible is not just a book. But your heart has to be ready and open to receive that word. Matthew 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? To know your need for God. To know that you are not sufficient without God. To know that you cannot do it alone without God. To know that you are nothing before God. Prophet T.B. Joshua, if you study his life, you will see that he was a man that lived his life as if he needed God more than you and me. Do you know how much you need God to do everything? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I want to ask you something. Is your heart mourning for righteousness? Because if your heart is crying for righteousness, that is the cry that God will hear. You want God to hear you when you pray. You want God to hear you when you ask him. You want God to listen when you pray. When you spend your time in meditation and you spend time aside for God, the voice that Jesus hears is the voice of repentance in your heart. God, I'm sorry. I can't do it alone. I need your help. Holy Spirit of love, forgive my hatred. Holy Spirit of patience, forgive my impatience. Holy Spirit of faith, forgive my doubt. Holy Spirit of self-control, forgive my greed. Holy Spirit of goodness, forgive my evil deeds. That is the prayer that the Holy Spirit will answer today. Because Jesus is taking us somewhere. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He's taking you on a journey. Are you ready to go on that journey? Amen. Are you ready to be where Jesus wants you to be? Are you ready to see what Jesus wants you to see? Because I don't want you to reach the end of your days and say, oh, I would have been. I could have been. No, no. The promise of Jesus is here and now. The Bible says in Isaiah, the highway of holiness, the unclean cannot walk on it. Matthew 5 verse 8, only the pure in heart can see God. So that means we have to deal with our heart first. What is the condition of your heart? Holy Spirit wants to come and move among you today. Great miracles, healing and deliverance is going to happen. It's already started happening. You are not excluded anywhere you're sitting, whether you have a placard or not, whether you have a wristband or not, whether you're here physically or you're watching live. None of this is a barrier for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. But the question is your heart ready to receive him? Jesus looked at Zacchaeus. He looked at his heart. And he said, salvation has come to your house. And that is the greatest blessing. Because within salvation is everything we need. Sometimes if we just ask for little things, God, heal me for this. Help me with this. Take away this. But God wants to give you redemption. He wants to give you more than you could ever dream or imagine. Look at the case of Peter. We're still coming back to the roadmap of Jesus, but look at the case of Peter. Remember, Peter, when he was suffering disappointment, frustration. At the seaside, he was trying to catch fish, no fish. And Jesus came and a great miracle happened. Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. A huge net full of fish, more than they could ever imagine. So what was the response of Peter? He fell to his knees and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He was convicted of the sin within him because of the presence of Jesus. Is the presence of Jesus here today? If the presence of Jesus is here, then your heart, your conscience should begin to be talking to you. Listen to the voice of your conscience, because the Holy Spirit communicates through our conscience. That was the day Peter's journey started. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Yes? His journey of righteousness started. He didn't know what Jesus meant. He didn't understand what happened. But he knew, he saw something which human wisdom could not explain. He saw a miracle. And he realized that, no, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Do you realize how much you need Jesus today? Do you realize how much you need God? Because this is what Jesus came for. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? You see, let me tell you something. It might be difficult for your flesh to read this Bible. To be honest. I think if we're honest, many of us will say that it's difficult for our flesh to read this Bible, yes? But do you know that your spirit craves for it? Because it's spirit and life. You are more than a fleshly body. The real thing about you is your spirit. The real thing about you is your spirit being. And your spirit being is craving for what is here. Word of life. Do you thirst for righteousness? Amen. You see, if I say here today, do you want to receive financial blessing? Everyone will say, yes! Okay, do you want to receive blessing from God? Yes. Okay, everyone says yes. But now, do you thirst for righteousness? Yes. But it has to be from your heart, because that's what Jesus is looking at. This is the journey. We're on a journey. Sometimes that journey is not where you want to go. Jesus says, forgive. He said, oh, no, I don't want to forgive. Jesus says, give what you cherish most. Oh, no, and no, I don't want to give that. No, 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 no. I need that one. That one's for me. Jesus says, serve. Don't be served. No, no, I want people to recognize me. Look at what Jesus says here. Jesus is giving us the footprint of his feet, where he's going. This is what he's giving us. But many of us, we're not following that footprint. And that is why we find ourselves stagnant in our spiritual life. We're not moving forward. Why? Because of our inability to say no to sin. The journey of righteousness. Tell your neighbor, the journey of righteousness starts with a no. You know, God is a God of separation. Maybe you don't know it. God separated light from darkness. He took Abraham from his father's house. He took Joseph from his father's house. He took them into a completely different land for them to discover the promise of God from their life. Remember, this is why Jesus told us, be in the world but not part of it. We are called to be set apart, sanctified, holy. You'll begin to receive blessing in your life when you see the importance of holiness in your life. It doesn't mean you should not talk to people or be aloof or alone or above anyone, no. What it means is you don't allow the world and its values to live inside your heart, because your heart is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that your heart is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? Yes. The Spirit of God that created you lives inside you. That is the greatest miracle. You, we are created, yes? So the created must know that the Creator is around. Do you understand? We are all created by God, yes? When God said, let there be light, that creative essence brought light, brought life into the world, meaning that God's word is a spirit that created material things, yes? Do you believe that? Amen. So if we believe that God's word is a spirit that created material things, the Spirit of God is more powerful than anything. But we have to believe that the Creator is here. Do you understand? The one that created you is now living inside you. It's difficult sometimes to actually think about. Imagine you're looking for something, but actually it's inside you. The Spirit of God is here. The one who created you. But you cannot know his love, experience his blessing, if you do not repent. The title of this event is Jesus Loves South Africa. And truly, Jesus loves this nation. But we cannot experience the love of God unless, as a nation, I'm including myself in your nation, as a nation, we don't come to our knees. What does the Bible say in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Unless my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, yes? Then I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land. This land needs healing, am I right? Yes. Such a wonderful people. But the land needs healing. Families need healing. Our hearts need healing. The only way our hearts can receive healing is if we come before God and we repent together. That's what Jesus came for. Don't allow that blessing to pass you by today. Because that is what Jesus came for. Remember the response of Jesus when many of those towns and villages in which he preached, and they witnessed huge miracles, signs, and wonders, but they did not repent. What did Jesus say? He said, it'll be worse for them. You know that scripture? Because the signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus performed were to show people that truly he was the Son of God, so they would listen to his teaching about the kingdom of heaven, and so they could receive the kingdom of heaven in their heart. And that is the commission of you and I today, to preach repentance. Amen? Forgiveness of sins. I don't think you know the importance of repentance. You know, repentance is the greatest gift of God for you and me. It's the greatest gift. Because the gospel is the good news. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever mistake you have made in your life, whatever journey of unrighteousness you're coming from, because we're all coming from somewhere, whatever you've done, whatever you might have done or not done, said or not said, repentance allows us to receive a new life from God. Repentance allows us to receive mercy of God. In fact, it's the only way of receiving mercy from God. I want you to understand this. We want to get close to Jesus. We want to touch his feet. We want to touch the hem of his garment. We want to feel his power. We want to experience him in our life. We want to see his miracles in our daily life. We want our family to be saved. Yes, we want all of this, but unless we realize that the only thing that separates us from him is our sin. And sin cannot be removed by your tears. Sin cannot be removed by even your prayer. No, sin can only be removed by repentance. Sin can only be removed by your repentance from the heart. Because it's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse you. It's only the blood of Jesus that can set you free. Now you might say, yes, I've received God's forgiveness. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Why are you telling me this? Why is my life still looking like this? Why am I still frustrated? Why am I still disappointed? Why am I struggling with depression? Why am I struggling with negative thoughts? Why am I struggling with stagnation in every area of my life? We need to ask God to forgive us. Because when Jesus Christ forgives us and washes us with the blood of Jesus, that joy of salvation will bring joy to every area of your life. But we can't do it alone. If it's something we could do alone, we would have done it a long time ago. Do you know that repentance starts with conviction? And conviction is the awakening of your spirit to the truth. Because the journey of righteousness begins with the truth. You can know something here, but it's different to when it's convicted here in your heart. It's different. You understand? The journey of righteousness starts with the truth. And the truth means, are we ready to see ourselves, our true position before God? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize how undeserving you are of his presence. Do you know that? That's why Peter fell to his knees. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Because the purity, the holiness of Jesus' presence was so tangible to him when he saw the presence of Jesus, when he saw the miracle. He looked at himself, he realized, no, I'm a sinful man. Yeah, I can't. Look at the prodigal son. it was that conviction that came to him to realize, no, I need to repent of my sin. I want to go home. I've been doing wrong. What about King David? You see how he handled sin in his life. Even when he went against the instruction of God and he counted the armies, he counted all the people against the instruction of God, his heart convicted him. The Holy Spirit convicted him and he repented. Do you listen to your heart, your spirit? What is your heart telling you now? Because your heart is always moving to one direction. Is it moving you closer to Jesus or further away from him? That is the question. What's the movement of your heart? Because our life is measured by the movement of our heart. Our life is measured by the movement of our heart. What is your heart saying today? Is your heart saying, I want to be like Jesus? If your heart is saying, I want to be like Jesus, then we need to follow his footsteps. And how can we walk on that journey? It begins with a no. Look at the case of the rich young ruler. And Jesus said, okay, you want to follow me? Sell everything you have and follow me. The Bible says he went away sad. Jesus was trying to tell him that the greatest riches are the riches of the eternal kingdom of heaven that can never fade or perish. But he realized it was difficult for him to part with his possessions. Let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. It might be difficult to part with your possessions, but it's even more difficult to part with sin. It's more difficult. That's why so many of us, we have one foot here, we have one foot there. Every day we say, sorry, God, I don't want to do it again, but I find myself doing it again. I don't want to do this again, but I find myself doing it again. Is that our experience? The time has come to say no. Because you deserve more. You are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. You are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. But the enemy of our soul, Satan, he wants to make us just act by instinct. Flesh, like an animal. Whereas we're the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. That divine connection is there. The presence of Jesus is here, but we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. We cannot, it's impossible to say no to sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a song that my mentor used to sing. Holy Ghost, do it again, do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see Jesus, seated on the throne. Let's rise and sing this song together. Holy Ghost, do it again, do it again in my life. Open my eyes to atmosphere of prayer. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, do it again in my life. Many of us, we've asked God for forgiveness, but we find ourselves not progressing on the journey. We find ourselves not walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We find ourselves going backwards instead of forwards. Jesus wants to take you with him. He's opening his hand to you today. He wants you to go with him, to walk with him. But your heart has to be ready to say no. He's looking not for part-time followers, but full-time followers. You see, the call to follow him is a spiritual call. When he said, follow me, to Matthew in his tax booth, he left everything, he followed Jesus. He didn't look back. The call to follow him goes beyond blood. What I mean by that is, salvation is personal. Maybe those closest to you do not understand that call, but that call is straight to your heart. And that is why you're here today. Many wanted to be here, but they could not be here. But you're here. That's because there's a divine invitation for you to receive that call today. I know this in my own life, because when I decided to follow that call of Jesus, it was not easy for me. I gave up everything. I left my country. I just graduated from university. And I went to Lagos, Nigeria to study under Prophet TB Joshua for 16 years. Even some of those closest to me in blood, till today, strive to disagree with my decision. But I've learned to leave it all to God. The greatest thing I learned, and I'm still learning, is it's our heart that matters to Jesus. And the only way your heart can be free, because that's the freedom that Jesus came to give you, the only way you can receive that freedom. And it took me a long time to understand this, and finally, I understood it when I understood it finally. You cannot allow any bitterness in your heart. You cannot allow any anger in your heart. You cannot allow any unforgiveness in your heart. You have to move on because Jesus is walking. And if you want to follow him, sin cannot follow. If you want to follow Jesus, pride cannot follow. If you want to follow Jesus, unforgiveness cannot follow. Bitterness cannot follow. Jealousy cannot follow. Envy cannot follow. Complaining cannot follow. Jesus is walking. You know, I want to tell you something. In the last months of his life, Prophet TB Joshua, he came up from the prayer mountain, looked at me and said, Ruth, you know, I'm running a race. When they come to call me, I can't look back. I can't look back. I have to follow that call. He said, make sure you're on that race. Today, the presence of Jesus is here. It's not about a man, it's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to break the power of sin in your life and my life. I want to pray together. Oh, Holy Spirit, sanctify my heart. Free my heart to follow you. on the journey of righteousness. Forgive me any way I have sinned, in word, in thought, or in deed, consciously or unconsciously. Cleanse me with your blood. Raise me to a new level in life. Let the power of sin be broken in my life. Sin's power over me is broken. Let's sing together.
Sin's power over me is broken. When Jesus went, I went. When he went, we went.
Power over
Thank you, Jesus.
Sings fire.